Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bragging rights are on the line, and maybe a state dinner, too.
Yes!
It's Zach Gelb against former NFL Pro Bowl quarterback Gus Frerotte in our CBS Sports Radio NFL Picks, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Last week, Gus Frerotte was 1-2. Yours truly was 1-1-1. That Bucks game pushed right on the number at 8 when we picked it. However, since my good friend, my confidant, the former Pro Bowl quarterback Gus Frerotte forgot to play by the rules and pick an underdog, the Browns pick for me counted as 2 picks. So if they won, I got 2 wins. So 1-1-1 turned out to be 2-1-1 on the season. I am 27-27-2 with the extra Browns win. That's 28-27-2. And Gus Frerotte on the year is 28-25-3. And Gus, to start this segment, let me just say one thing. We had someone from CBS Sports Radio come into the studio today, and they took measurements from where your fat head's going to go that you're going to have to send me and sign it.
Oh, man, that's got to be a big space you got.
Well, we got a lot of space here in this studio, but I need to put a Gus Frerotte fathead in this studio signed when you lose the playoff picks to me, and it's got to be at least 6 feet away from me. So we're going to have you socially distance away from me, and it's going to be lovely in this studio for years and years to come.
So, wait, I got a question. Is this a fathead from playing days or a fathead current?
It's whatever you want, my friend. Now, we don't know the dimensions, but I just told them, hey, Gus, big cabeza, make sure that we have enough space on the wall. And they said, okay, well, we'll find a way to put it in the studio somewhere.
Well, what do you think about this? Your fat head with a helmet on and my fat head with a helmet on. So I got a lot of those helmet pictures. I kind of know what your helmet picture looks like. So.
Yeah, it's not appeasing. It's really disgusting. It's repulsive. Great. You're making me feel great on a Friday here, Gus.
Well, you're up. I got to do what I can, you know, to like kind of strike your mood a little bit.
Now, if I have another winning week, I have a good smack-talking video that I may release next week. Now, I know you. You're not fazed by any smack-talking. I don't know if you'll like this video or not that I may put out there if I continue the momentum this week. But I may have to start playing dirty because you got the best of me in the regular season.
Well, it was a long year. It was a strange year, you know. And you know what? You might not have been at your best this year. So, you know, I'm just saying it was pretty darn close. I mean, you end up with 28 wins.
Yep. And we're still going. And by the way, I did put the check in the mail today to the Ronald McDonald House. So I am a man of my word, $250 to the great Ronald McDonald's House. Now I just got to get you the steak from last postseason. So whenever this COVID stuff is over, whether it's us linking up at a Super Bowl or maybe you coming to New York or me going to Pittsburgh, I will get you that steak, beer, wine, tequila, vodka, let's go creamy spinach, lobster mac and cheese. We'll make sure all that is taken care of, all right?
That sounds delightful, my man. I can't wait.
Gus Frerotte here with us on the show. Real quickly before we get to the picks this week, I got to bring up the Steelers because I'm really so upset. I even took a terrible towel out today and wiped some of those tears away. But how about after the game? With what Juju said before the game with the Browns is the Browns, I get Chase Claypool coming to his teammates' defense, But if anything, Juju was classless. And also, Chase Claypool, you're saying, the Browns are just going to lose to the Chiefs. Like, that's supposed to make you feel better because your team couldn't get the job done? How about the Steelers wide receivers here making no sense the last week or two?
Well, there's definitely a little lack of leadership going on at Steelers wide receiver room because I've played with a lot of guys that would never say anything. You go out, you go in with style and you go out with style and use class the whole way. And I think some of that is for their social media and trying to make a presence for themselves. You know how you talk on the field and you win games. And, that doesn't look good for anyone because the Steelers organization from a long time ago has been a class act. Yeah, there's some things that have happened. But, when you have players like that going out and saying those things, you really put a stain on your team, your organization.
Do you think Big Ben will be back, and should the Steelers bring him back?
Well, he's got a big cap hit next year if he does come back. I don't know. I think Ben's thinking very long and hard about it. There are probably some things where he's not moving like he used to. That was a big part of his game. He's getting rid of the ball. The only way I see Ben coming back is if somehow he thinks they're going to have a great running game. Because I just don't believe that when Ben has to throw the ball over 30 times, that the Steelers' record is what it should be. I like Ben when they're running the ball great. He's running play action, not when he's in shotgun 68 times in a game.
Yeah, it's not a formula for success for any quarterback. Gus Frerotte here with us right now on the Zach Gelb Show. We'll get to the picks in just a second. Got to get your QB brain on Deshaun Watson. He's not happy, deservedly so. He should be annoyed at the organization with all that happened the last year. What would your advice be to Cal McNair and the guys running the show in Houston on how to deal with Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think he's proved that he can be your quarterback of the future. I mean, he played well. They didn't have a lot around him. They gave away one of their best players in Hopkins. And when you do that, your quarterback's got to find a way to win. I look at what he went through this year, and I thought he did a great job. And I think he just said, he's basically saying, look, I've proven myself on the field. Now, please, give me the guys to go with me so that we can go out and win a championship. And when I think teams start saying, well, we're not so sure, there becomes a rift in that. It's like you look at what happened with the Eagles. It's crazy. They got a great player, and I just don't think you can give your great players away.
So you still believe in Carson Wentz here? Is that what you're saying when you bring up the Eagles situation here?
No, I just think that, I'm not saying that Carson is bad or good or anything. I'm just saying there were rifts that happened between him, the coach, maybe Jalen Hurts, the owner. Who knows? I don't even know what happened. There's a lot of rumors going around. I've heard a lot of things. But, and it showed that the owner picked the quarterback over the coach.
Yeah. No, you're right on that, and I heard Troy Aikman say something similar to that, and I think they're going to try to make it work also with the money tied up with Carson Wentz, but a problem I have there, Howie Roseman just is not picking the right players to give the quarterback a chance, but still, we know a quarterback like Deshaun Watson in a really bad situation, he didn't turn over the football like Carson Wentz did, and I'm usually a pro-Wentz guy, but this was a bad year all around for him, not just his fault, but there's some accountability to go there as well. All right, Gus Frerotte, Huddle Up with Gus, NFL picks each and every Friday in football season on the Zach Gelb Show. Make sure you check out his great podcast. So this is the last week we have any parameters, any rules. We're only picking three games. You have to pick one underdog. Next week, it's a free-for-all. And then the Super Bowl, you could do whatever you want. You're up first, my friend. Who do you got this week in game number one?
Game number one, I think they have a great defense. I think, Aaron Donald coming in, going to be healthy, they say. They call him, the coach called him Terminator. Jalen Ramsey locking down people. But I just don't think that they're going to be able to match what Aaron Donald can do in Green, or I mean Aaron Rodgers can do in Green Bay. I mean the guy's been phenomenal at home. Just the Rams coming from LA, it's just tough when you come to the cold weather areas and it's supposed to snow. So we'll see what happens. I'm taking the Packers in this game and going and riding Aaron Rodgers.
So you're riding the Packers. Da-na, da-na-na-na-na. Go, Pack! Go! Packers minus 6.5. Gus, I'm in full agreement with you on this pick. Yes, I get it. Jalen Ramsey could have a very good game up against Davante Adams, and then there's some concerns. Who else do the Packers target? I get it. Aaron Donald could mess up your plans and could be a dominating force in the trenches. I just look at Jared Goff, and I know he has a banged-up thumb, getting the surgery, took some hits last week, and he was not even supposed to start the game, didn't start the game. It was John Wolford. Then he came in off the bench when Wolford got hurt, and Wolford's out this week. I just can't see, even with that defense and how much I've been saying that defense has been great for a while now, I can't see Jared Goff going into Lambeau Field and out-dueling Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that game is tight for a little, but I do like the Packers to win the game and cover the spread by the 6.5 points. So we are in agreement there on game number one. Game number two, you know what? Let's go with the big quarterback matchup this weekend. And I'm
the old-timer game.
Yeah, I'm going with the old-timer game. Some may think I was going with Josh Allen and also Lamar Jackson. Now, it's very fitting. Actually, they probably should have put this game at like 4:30 so everyone could get the early bird special in, but it's a 6:40 p.m. Eastern time game on Sunday. You got Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, going into the Superdome up against the Saints. We saw this matchup week one. Brady and the Bucs got smacked. Janoris Jenkins had the pick six. We saw this game then weeks later in Tampa Bay. And the Saints just destroyed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Third time's a charm for TB12. I'm going with the cliche. I'm going with the lazy analysis. Hey, it's tough to beat a team three times in one season. I just like the direction that the Bucs are moving in, the way their offense is playing right now. They got to keep Brady upright. If they do so, they will win this game. Yes, the Saints have a good pass rush. I just don't trust Drew Brees in this spot. As much as I love Drew Brees as a player, and the postseason, the last 2 years have not been his best moments. So I will take the Bucs plus the 3 points. That's my underdog pick.
Well, I like that pick for you because I'm going opposite. I'm taking the Saints at home. I just think that they got kind of clicking on all cylinders right now. Their defense is playing at a high level. And, you know, Tom Brady and the team that they put together is good. I just don't know if right now if they're good enough to beat the Saints. So I'm going to take the Saints in this game.
All right. So there's a little bit of a disagreement right there. And here's a number to look at. I'm just going to say, if Drew Brees has an interception or a fumble in this game, just one, then I think Tampa's going to win. That was part of my rationale on this pick. All right. I'm going to have you go back to back here. What's your last pick?
All right. For my underdog pick, I'm going to stick with my man Lamar Jackson going up to the Bills and, doing his thing up there. It's going to be cold and snowing. He says he's never played in the snow, but their run game has been pretty darn good over the last run game like that. They're going to be able to control the clock, keep Josh Allen off the field with that high-powered offense that they've been scoring a tremendous amount of points. So my underdog pick is the Ravens this week.
Look at that. I'm so proud of you, Gus. Last week you thought the Ravens were a dog. It made sense. They were on the road, and they were our favorite. Now, to get the underdog pick correct, you go with the Ravens when they're actually an underdog, this time in Buffalo. I'm very proud of you, Gus.
If I'm not mistaken, you actually thought the Ravens at some point were an underdog as well last week.
Yes, that is true. When the line first did come out, I said, wait, Tennessee's a favorite? So, hey, I just remember, though, the most recent performance. Yeah. That was my thought on Monday. That was your thought on Friday of last week. I'm just messing with you. I'm busting chops. That's what we do here on the show.
I like it. I like it.
You know, I agree with you on this pick. On Monday, I said Ravens. Then on Tuesday, Wednesday, after my buddy Deion Dawkins joined us, I said, oh, now I got to kind of pick the Bills because Deion was buttering me up and saying all these nice things about our friendship and all that going back to Temple. And then on Thursday, I just started to think to myself, wow, I got to go with the Ravens. And I'll even take it a step further. If the Ravens win this week, I'm starting to think that the Ravens then go into Kansas City and get a dub. I'm not fully there yet because for most of the year I've said Chiefs, Super Bowl or the field to get there in the AFC, I've been taking the Chiefs. But I'm starting to think the Ravens are a team that are going to get to the Super Bowl, but they got to survive this week. I think this is a back-and-forth game. Lamar Jackson has the ball in his hands late with about a minute left, and he finds a way to either kick a game-winning field goal or put the ball in the end zone to win the game. Here's the number that I look at. You know, I gave you the one pick or one fumble by Breeze. Josh Allen, total touchdowns, passing or running, just him, 2.5. If they're going to win the game, I think he has to get to at least 3. If the Ravens hold him to 2 and 2 total touchdowns, just either on the arm or the legs of Josh Allen, then the Ravens will win this game. I'm going close. I'm going a tight game, like 23-20. I like the Ravens to win the game and cover, obviously, the 2.5 points. So I'm going the Ravens plus the 2.5. And then if the Bills win 24-23, hey, the Ravens still cover the number. So here are the picks
right.
this week.
You know, it's kind of shocking to me. You didn't want to take the Browns again and try to get two-for again out of me. I was waiting for that to come out again, that, you know, the Browns go to Kansas City. You say, hey, give me 2-for. I'd be like, sure, you know. But
here's the problem. Here's the problem with the Browns. I think the Chiefs are going to win the game. All week, though, I have not been able to get a feel if that game's going to be, 31-20 and the Browns score late and still the Chiefs would cover the number then of 10 points. Or if that's going to be a game, what scares me there is the 10 points, because I do think Kansas City's a better team, but can you maybe have a backdoor cover where the Chiefs are cruising throughout most of the game and then the Browns score some late touchdown and they make it 30-23 and I take the Browns, or I take the Chiefs minus the 10 and that comes back to haunt me, or if I plus the points with the Browns and then the Chiefs score a touchdown late, the 10 points to me, I just don't like the number either way, because I could see the Chiefs blowing them out and I could also then see the Browns keeping it tight, so... I think the
Chiefs win. You thought way too long and hard about that. I looked at what Big Ben did to that Browns defense throughout that whole game, and giving up chunk after chunk, and just saying, okay, they're gonna some point they gotta stop them and hold them. And then when they lost, I'm thinking in my head, what is Patrick Mahomes gonna do to that defense?
Yeah. So the only reason why I can't really put much stock into that. It's because Ben did have 4 interceptions and it was 28-0. And then it was 35-10. It got tight. Tomlin punted the football when he should not have in that game.
Right.
And then the Browns put the ball in the end zone and the game was over. Just with the way that they were playing prevent, it kind of seemed as if the Browns were like, let's just get to the finish line. That's why I don't put too much stock in the second half. But you're right. And the Browns get some players back, I believe, off the COVID list. But you are right. That's a situation that you have to look at and see what type of Mahomes goes up against, what type of Browns defense Mahomes is going up against. So anyway, long story short,
their head coach was in the basement of his house watching the game.
Stefanski, that's your guy. Did you talk to him this week?
I did not. I let him go. It's a big week, but I think he's just happy to be able to be with his team and be back out on the field.
Now, you think he was maybe drinking a little bit to knock some of the stress off when that game was going on last week, or is he probably more of like a pint of ice cream and about 10 boxes of cookies?
You know, I'm thinking the latter, but I'm also thinking that he probably walked a nice 6-inch hole in his carpet back and forth behind the couch watching that game, right?
Yeah.
Because they're up and it's like, okay, we got a good lead, and then all of a sudden they keep throwing the ball. They're not running the clock out in the third quarter, and I'm just like, what are they doing? And then it was just insanity for a little bit.
Yeah, and it's nice that he's going to be back on the sidelines this week. All right, anyway, here are the picks. We're both on Green Bay minus the 6.5. We're both on the Ravens plus the 2.5. And the one game we disagree on, I'm going Bucks plus 3. You're going Saints minus 3. Gus Verratt, huddle up with Gus. What do you got on the podcast this week?
This week, next week coming up. This week I had my good friend Matt Burke on. We talked a lot about old times playing dominoes when we were at the Vikings together. Next week coming up is an attorney, Jeremy Duru, who helped in the whole Rooney Rule and developing that. So it was a great talk about social justice and everything. And he's from Washington, D.C. It was just one of my favorite shows I've ever done.
Looking forward to it. Gus Verratt, we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Zach. Take care. Good luck.
Thank you so much. I guess you too. There's Gus Verratt joining us on the show. It's a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. You could tell that Raven, just in my analysis and how much I'm bloviating on that pick, my Ravens-Bills thought is just going back and forth. And then the Chiefs-Browns, that's a game I stay away from. In terms of the line, I would not plus the 10 points. I would not minus the 10 with the Chiefs. You know what the play is there? If you feel as if you have to pick that game, go with the over. It seems as if there's going to be a lot of points in that game. So once again, Green Bay minus 6.5, myself and Gus. Ravens plus 2.5, myself and Gus. Then I take the Bucs plus 3, Saints minus 3. I hope I have a winning week this week because I've been saving this video. And I'm just a good video that we got in the work where I'll troll Gus a little bit and he'll take it well, you know. He'll take it on the chin like a champ. I don't think he'll be too annoyed, but you never know. Some people get very sensitive. Gus to me, we have a friendship. We have a good relationship. He doesn't seem sensitive. He seems that we can make some jokes to one another. There's a lot of other people in this business that if you have a little fun and poke some fun at them, they cry. They go, oh, that wasn't nice. Oh, that wasn't nice. What did you do? And then you realize people that actually have thick skin and then people that have thin skin in this business. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, always got to get to a tease. Could this be the final game for a legend?
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Doing More is sponsored by the Home Depot for DIY projects. You know the Home Depot is always in your corner. Now with their mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Nugget center Nikola Jokic, the Joker, continued his torrid start. Wow, what a good word. That's a nice job. Good SAT word right there by one Ryan Trace Hickey. You know what I sound like right there? Remember when Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, a few years back when they were teammates and Kevin Durant actually liked the Golden State Warriors, where some reporter asked about a kerfuffle that happened and they were like, kerfuffle? That's a good word. That's how I sound right now. Torrid start. Good job, Ryan Trace Hickey. Oh, yeah. To the season as the Nuggets defeated the Warriors 114-104 last night. The Joker scored 23 points and totaled 14 rebounds and dished out 10 assists for his fifth triple-double on the season. Jokic also leads the NBA in assists with 10.4 per game. What can't Nikola Jokic do? All righty. So coming up on Sunday, final game. And I believe the game is on Fox. So you're going to have Joe Buck and you're going to have Troy Aikman. It's going to be Tom Brady going up against the Saints. Now, if the Buccaneers lose, what's the storyline about the future? There's really not much. And the parting words of the broadcast. All right, because everyone expects Tom Brady's going to be back next year. He's already said it. He said something, what was it, last week where he said, yeah, we're going to be even better next year. If the Saints lose, though, what's the storyline? And how does Fox handle that? Because if the Saints lose, that means Tom Brady wins. That means Tom Brady, and you already know who the NFC opponent is because it's the final game of the weekend. That means most likely you get Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Brady first year in Tampa Bay, and he's going to the NFC title game. Now, we all know when Brady wins, that's the story. But on the other side, if Drew Brees loses, you also have to mention how that's probably Drew Brees' final game. So I'm curious what the send-off is going to be on Fox if the Saints lose. And how do they handle that moment knowing that one of the game's all-time greats, first ballot Hall of Famer, just ridiculous statistics that he's put up, all-time great statistics, Drew Brees, with the yards, now him being 2 in the passing touchdowns because of the games that he missed this year, with Brady playing well and throwing 40 passing touchdowns. How does Fox handle that? Because, yes, if the Bucs win, that's the biggest storyline. And if the Saints win, the storyline is Drew Brees' magical ride continues. Can he get a ring in his final season? And for and then you have a mention, and for Joe Buck probably goes, and for Tom Brady, his first year away from Bill Belichick, it resulted in a postseason trip. The Bucs made the postseason for the first time since whenever, and you saw the turnaround, and boom, they'll be back next year. But if it's the other way around, it's Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First year with Brady with the Bucs. They're going to the NFC title game. How do you then work in, as big of a storyline that is, also tying the bow on what has been a legendary career in Drew Brees? And not just what he's meant for the National Football League, but he's walking off the field in New Orleans for most likely the final time in a city that he's done so much for off the field, and then also delivered them a Super Bowl championship. And you'd have a partnership ending with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And I'm just curious how Drew handles that after the game. Now, I don't expect Drew right after the game, if they lose, in that moment to say, guys, that's it. I got the deal with NBC. I'm leaving. He probably knows right now that this is last season. Has he definitely made that decision? Does he definitely know that for a fact? That I don't know. But when you start to think that this is it, and we've had Zach Streif on this show before, who's a close personal friend of Drew, knows the family well, played with Drew, is now the Saints play-by-play guy. And Streif has said before that he's thought in years past that was Drew's final season. And then he said when he was on with us before the season started that, yeah, he believes that this is the last season for Drew Brees, but he said that before in the past. Does Drew Brees come back next year? I have a tough time envisioning it. Because remember, last year, hurt, missed 5 games. This year, hurt, missed what, 4 games? The 11 rib fractures and the collapsed lung? And also, you've been knocking on that door. You've been close to getting that second ring. You don't need the second ring. You want the second ring. And that second ring has been close. It's been basically waved right in your face and then pulled away. Minneapolis Miracle. Case Keenum to Diggs. NFC title game. Rams. Garbage no call. Overtime. You throw a pick. Last year, up against the Vikings, you were the heavy favorite on wild card weekend. Kirk Cousins. Kyle Rudolph. Bang! Touchdown. Game winner. Brees in that game. Fumble. Pick. It just seems as if this is time to say goodbye if you're Drew Brees. Especially where he's not as dominant as he once was. Now, with that being said, think about this. We saw him slow down the regular season up against the Cowboys a few years back. We saw him slow down at the end of the season, that NFC title game. We saw him slow down last year in that wild card game. He's still consistently making the playoffs and still consistently giving you a belief that his team could get it done. Now, I don't think the Saints are winning the Super Bowl this year, but they have a shot to do so. And if they win on Sunday, they're 60 minutes away from getting back to the big game. And yeah, it's so important that Rodgers takes down the Rams. From a marketing standpoint, yeah, you could always talk about the Rams defense and McVay and you find enough storylines, but you know what the NFL wants. They want Rodgers going up against either Brees or Brady. What do you think the NFL wants more? You think the NFL wants Rodgers going up against Brady or Rodgers going up against Brees? If I had to pick, I think they'd rather want to see Rodgers going up against Brady. But a consolation prize of Rodgers and Brees is not bad. Well, where do you go on that, Trace? Would you say the NFL, if Roger Goodell, well, Goodell may not love Brady, but let's just say the marketing experts, the whiz kids in the NFL, they go, NFC title game, Rodgers is there. You think they'd rather have the Bucs there or the Saints there?
I'd probably go with the Bucs, right? Tom Brady, you know, you have the storylines built there from New England. Now he's in Tampa, 60 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl again. I think it's more storylines and more national juice if the Buccaneers are in it.
And I only think that, now I'm just trying to go through this. I only believe, and look how many times Brady went up against Peyton Manning in his career. It was every year, and they were once early on in the same division. So you got it twice a year. But I only believe, and I could be wrong on this, but I think Brady only has gone up against Rodgers 3 times in his career, or the Patriots have played the Packers 3 times. And I think, actually, they may have only gone up head-to-head twice. I'll check this out. I was at one of the games, the last one. Aaron Jones fumbled. The Patriots won that game. And then the other time was in Green Bay, where it was back and forth, and Green Bay won. I think those were the only 2 times they've gone up head-to-head. There may have been a third matchup, but I think it did happen. I believe that game did happen, and that was the year when Brady got hurt in 08. I may be wrong on that. And the Dan Connolly game, I believe Rodgers was not the quarterback that night. But we'll take a look at it during the break. But yeah, I think the NFL would want Brady going up against Rodgers. Anyway, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I'm just fascinated to see how the NFL does handle the whole Brees departure if this is his final game and how Fox has handled it. Do you have that in front of you by any shot? The Rodgers-Brady head-to-head matchups?
They've played three times.
Oh, so it is three. Yes. Okay. So you had the three matchups in front of you?
I don't have the middle one. I have one. They won 35-0 back in 06. Obviously, they played earlier this year. And I don't have
the middle one. No, that was this year. That was
Bucks Packers.
Yep. That was this year. Bucks Packers. Duh. So that's the three matchups. I don't think you said it was 36-0.
35-0 back in 06 is one I'm reading here. Patriots against the Packers.
Yeah, who won that game?
Patriots.
I don't think that was a Brady Rodgers matchup.
That was probably Brett Favre.
Yeah.
But I think Brett Favre got hurt and Rodgers came in.
Okay, gotcha. So now I know the three matchups then. It was this year, Brady beating them, coming back from down 10-0. Then there was a game in Lambeau not that long ago that the Patriots lost. And then there was that game. It was in Brady's
2014. They also played.
Yeah. Those are the three games.
Yeah.
So 2014 was the game in Green Bay, correct?
Yep.
That was when the Packers won.
Correct.
Then the next matchup, I was at the game. It was a Sunday night football game. I believe it was in the Super Bowl 53 season. So Brady's final year there. Brady got the best of Rodgers. And then this past year. See, isn't that funny? When I talk about Brady going up against Rodgers, I still forget that Brady's on the Buccaneers. And this is going to be the first time. This is going to be the weekend where, as a Patriot fan, I'm going to feel it. Because all throughout the year, all right, regular season, back and forth, you're watching. Last weekend, people go, oh, how does it feel to watch Brady in the postseason? Well, as a Patriot fan, and this is going to sound cocky, my team is usually not playing on Wild Card weekend. They usually have a bye. So Brady postseasons, and there's been some years Wild Card round, they've either won or the loss. But this year, now divisional round, that's when I'm going to start to feel it. Because the winner of that game, then 60 minutes from a Super Bowl. Now, I don't think anyone's going to have a small violin for me on that one. Do you like how I put that, by the way? I didn't really feel it last week, and now it's going to be divisional round where I'm going to feel it.
It must be nice.
Oh, come on. It's not as if your team has been in NFL purgatory. You've been a Colts fan.
I mean, no team. You're like on your own island.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless if you go, for example, Dynasty Cowboys, Dynasty 49ers, but then those teams have had their demise. My team is just starting their demise, and we'll see if they can pick their heads out of the sands. Yeah, I'm not expecting people to have sympathy for me. Trust me. But I say that, I know that's going to annoy some people, I think. But that's what I think. People asked me that last weekend. One of my friends asked me, how do you feel not watching your team in playoffs? And I go, ask me next weekend, because the Patriots usually start their playoff runs in the divisional round. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Closing bell next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Closing time on The Zach Gelb Show. But first, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, low, low prices. And excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just a quick programming note. Yesterday, I said Gus Malzahn was going to join us today. I talked to Gus today. He's actually golfing in Arizona, so he asked me politely, even though he said he was going to do the interview today, if he could push us back to next week. So we are scheduled to have Gus Malzahn. I almost said Gus Verratt there. Gus Verratt will be on with us next week at 9 p.m. Eastern in his weekly spot. But we are scheduled to have Gus Malzahn. He will come on next week. Date to be determined is what I'm trying to say here. So we'll be very much looking forward to that interview with the former Auburn head coach. We're aiming or pushing for Wednesday or Thursday. Looks like right now it's going to be Thursday. But if you're scoring at home, we will keep you updated at some time early next week. All right, poll question today. Aaron Rodgers won the MVP, and Davante Adams is viewed as the best wide receiver in the NFL currently. You have tremendous QB receiving duos left in the playoffs. Mahomes-Kelsey, Mahomes-Hill, Brady Evans, Allen Diggs, Breeze Thomas. Is Rodgers-Adams the best QB receiving duo left in the playoffs? 71% say yes. 29% say no. Trace, yes or no question. Do you agree with that? Rodgers, Adams, best receiving quarterback duo left in the league.
Yes.
Okay. I agree with you too. I got a tweet yesterday. I just want to see if it changes your thinking. I got a tweet from a guy named Tad who listens to the show. And Tad said to me, Zach, love your show, but got a problem with your take. You're telling me Super Bowl, 4 minutes left, or he said 2.5 minutes left, final drive, Rodgers Adams is the duo that you want the most compared to Mahomes and Kelsey? Does that change your thinking at all? Because I thought it was a very fair point that was brought up. You still go Rodgers Adams?
I do, because, I mean, it's Davante Adams and nobody else, and they still have all this production. So you can try to stop them. You can't. So to me, I Travis Kelce, don't try to take anything away from him. But it helps Travis Kelce get open when you have Tyreek Hill to worry about, when you have Sammy Watkins to worry about, when you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire to worry about. Like, he is helped out because of the talent on his team. Davante Adams does not have that luxury. So the fact that they still have equal and or more production, depending on what metrics you use, than that combo in less games, yeah, I'll take, you know, Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers.
Like, don't get me wrong. You put Kelce on any team, I think he is a stud. I think he's a force to be reckoned with. But my thinking is in lockstep with you, and that's why I said yesterday it's Adams Rodgers when you get into all this discussion, because of the fact of how important Adams is. If Rodgers didn't have Adams, he's throwing to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Alan Lazard, and Robert Tonyan. Even look how valuable Robert Tonyan is because of how much focus and attention people have to put on Davante Adams. 18 receiving touchdowns, missed two games. Whew. How about that? 71% say yes, it's Rodgers Adams. 29% say no. Let's ring the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Josh Cribbs joined us earlier, and he had a little message for Chase Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster.
I'll chalk that up to him being a young professional athlete. He's a good kid. He's a lot of a talent. He's going to be great in this league for years to come. However, he needs a lesson. The veterans on his team needs to pull him aside. I was skeptical, and I was dumbfounded at Juju as well. That him being in the league, knowing what happened against Cincinnati, when you give teams bulletin board material, they use that, especially with the fans not being able to be present. They use what you say against you. It worked for Cincinnati, and it worked for us. So, I would have to let Chase Claypool know that it was Juju's words, the nameless gray faces, the Browns is the Browns comment that we use against the Steelers. So when he says, we were classless, no, that was classless. And then we as a football franchise, and as a talented group, they took advantage of that, and they used it, and they used it to win. So, you know, he had to eat those words, and now he even said it himself. He's salty. He's really salty. Salty cracker guy.
Salty cracker guy. Love that. Just a tremendous job by Josh Cribbs. Eloquently said, stock up. And then on the flip side, I got to give a quick stock down to the Steelers. Think about the proud Pittsburgh Steelers. That great legendary organization synonymous with what? Championships. Now, Chase Claypool of the Steelers had a really good rookie season. Yeah, we couldn't beat the Browns. We couldn't show up. So the Chiefs will take care of our business. And then you're supposed to feel good about yourself? Oh, terrible. Oh, awful. Oh, putrid. Stock down, Steelers. Stock up, Arthur Smith. Getting the head coaching job with the Falcons, Urban Meyer with the Jaguars, Robert Saleh with the Jets, and then Dan Campbell supposedly going to the Detroit Lions. Stock up. Congratulations to all those gentlemen. Here come the Yankees. Now, I'm not a Yankee fan, but the New York Yankees today got DJ LeMahieu on a 6-year, $95 million contract. Bargain! And they also signed Corey Kluber to a 1-year, $12 million deal. They needed pitching depth. They got it. Stock up to the New York Yankees. Henrik Lundqvist, not only one of my favorite hockey players of all time, but one of my favorite athletes of all time. He's not going to be playing this season, unfortunately, as we know. He's moved on from the Rangers. We're supposed to be with the Washington Capitals, which, that's tough for me to see. Now, we don't have to see it, but this is not the way, obviously, that you want it to go down. Just horrible, horrible news, as we've been talking about. Henrik Lundqvist, out for this season, had to have open heart surgery. And he had the open heart surgery in Cleveland, and he was able to leave the hospital and was greeted by signs from his children and fans as well. Hank is one of the classiest athletes I'll ever meet. I've had an opportunity to meet him many times over the years and interview him many times over the years. Just such a good, genuine, authentic guy that deserves a ring. And I didn't want to see him in that Capitals jersey this year. But with what he's going through, yeah, I definitely want to see him back on the ice soon. And I hope for his sake, he's able to make a return, not only from his health, but also you don't want to see his career end this way. But if he's not deemed healthy enough to do so, then he won't return to the ice. But that guy's an absolute legend. One of my favorite hockey player of all time. Not one of, my favorite hockey player of all time. And we wish the King the best of luck, and I hope he does get eventually a Stanley Cup ring and gets to raise that cup over his head. Stock up, Henrik Lundqvist. The Texans. Deshaun Watson's still mad. He was at a 2. Now he's taking it up to a 10. What happens when you get past the 10 scale? What happens when you get to a 20, a 30, a 40, a 50, a 60, a 70, a 80, a 90, a 100? Cal McNair, fix your team. Stock down, Houston Texans. And finally, I saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire is questionable for the game, Chiefs and Browns on Sunday. I did see that Sammy Watkins was out because of a calf injury. Now, Sammy Watkins, during the Steelers-Browns game, took to Twitter and said, this video game, what the hell is going on? This is weird. I'm speechless. Pretty sure the whole world is shocked because I've never seen anything like this in my life, not in the NFL. Then a Chiefs fan responded, looks like we got some competition next week, with a heart face and then a laughing emoji face. And then Sammy Watkins tweets back, I wouldn't go that far, LOL. Now, the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions. What did the Steelers do leading up to that game? They talked a lot of smack. And now Sammy Watkins, you won't even be able to be on the field to have a difference in the outcome. Yeah. Hope you're healthy. Hope you get better soon. We'll see if you're in the AFC Championship game. I do think you will be. But just another unnecessary tweet. Stock down, Sammy Watkins. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Trace, great job all throughout the week. Great job to all of our callers throughout the week, all of our listeners, all of our tweeters. And a big thanks today on the show, Josh Cribbs, Gus Frerotte, the Gus Boss, Gary Myers as well. I hope each and every one of you have a safe, a happy, a healthy, a fun weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll be back on Monday to talk about it all, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. That's when the party gets started. I'm Zach Gelb. I'm out. Peace!
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.